Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 26. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 26. We are going through the series of Jeremiah, and by my count, we're only on message number 13. And you say, how in the world did we get to chapter 26 so quick? Well, what we did is we're going through the book of Jeremiah in chronological order. And Jeremiah is not written in chronological order, but it bounces around. And we warned you ahead of time that we'd be bouncing around quite a bit. That what has occurred is that Jeremiah has been asked by God to go to the Temple Mount and outside of the temple and to preach a very important message called the Temple Discourse. And we see it recorded in Jeremiah chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. And we could see the range of emotions that God has in dealing with the people through his prophet Jeremiah. We could see the heartbrokenness of God that he has to send destruction. We could see the anger and the wrath of God for these people to take advantage of him, that God has wanted to bless these people, but they keep slapping him in the face. They keep rejecting his word. And now, as we come to Jeremiah chapter 26, we now see the reaction. So Jeremiah's preached the message, it's recorded, and in chapter 26, we're actually going to take this in two parts, one today and one on Sunday morning, but we're going to see the reaction of the people because of this message that Jeremiah's preaching. How are the people going to respond? How are they going to react to the message of the Lord that Jeremiah the prophet had delivered unto the people? Well, if you don't mind, let's see how they respond in Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah 26, and notice with me starting in verse 1. Jeremiah 26 and verse 1, notice what the Word of God says. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto the cities of Judah, which came to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if thou wilt not hearken to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse unto the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, and the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house and unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to the people, saying, the Lord hath sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city in all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as it seemeth good, and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye shall put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 26? Jeremiah chapter number 26, and notice with me in verse number 6. Jeremiah 26 and verse 6, notice the phrase in verse 6. This house like Shiloh. This house like Shiloh. Again, the people understood that was the idea of this passage here, that they repeated it in verse number 9. This house shall be like Shiloh. And so with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach about this house like Shiloh. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you for letting us to be in your precious house, to listen to your precious word. And I'm asking that we would be able to discern and understand the application that you wanted the people to respond to, that you wanted them to hear after the preaching of your word. Lord, help us to apply it to ourselves. Help us to be people that are sensitive and listen to your word completely and wholly. As for me, Lord, you know my ailments, you know my physical infirmities, you know the place that I'm at. You know that I'm utterly incapable and I must be fully dependent upon you in order for you to get your work done tonight. So the best I know how, I surrender everything, Lord. I throw myself at your feet and just beg that you do something supernatural tonight, because I cannot. I cannot. Lord, fill me with your spirit and bless your precious word in a special way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, what is happening here is that Jeremiah has preached his temple discourse in front of the temple, and it is recorded in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 7, 8, 9, and 10. Once again, we get the context of it in verse number 1 of chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, came this word of the Lord, word from the Lord, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which shall worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee, and speak unto them, and diminish them not a word." So again, he's just responding to what God has told him to do, that God has given him the message to preach that is already recorded. And in chapter 27 is the application. So because he preached all of this, what are the people supposed to do with that message? How are the people supposed to respond? How are they supposed to act? And the application, the point was that you obey the Lord, or you can expect this house and this city to become like Shiloh. Now, to people who maybe haven't filled in the blanks, who haven't taken strings of the Bible and tied them together, the word Shiloh and that this place would be like Shiloh may make you a little bit lost. So what is this referring to? It's referring to an event found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 4, where the people were afraid of the Philistines. And as they were afraid of the Philistines, what they said is, you know what? We need the power of God. And so in order to have the power of God, let's take the Ark of the Covenant. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant, if we put it up to battle, we can't lose, because God will not allow this Ark of the Covenant to be destroyed. They had the idea that the Ark of the Covenant, a piece of furniture, had magical powers. Almost like if you open it up, it'd suck your faces off or something, right? It had no magical powers whatsoever. But the people thought that if they brought this piece of furniture up and they brought it to the front lines, then it would automatically destroy the Philistines, because this is the Ark of the Covenant. And so what happened is that the people put their trust in an object rather than they put their trust in God. Instead of getting right with God and obeying God, they resorted to superstition, to magic. They resorted to trusting in an object rather than the person of God. And so what happened is that because the people were trusting in an object rather than God, God had that object be captured by the Philistines. Now that was a shock to the people back then. Why would God allow his own furniture, his special Ark of the Covenant, to be taken? Why would he let it be taken? Why? And it was just such a blow to them. They could not understand. I mean, they believed that their God was real, and they believed that God had put a special blessing on that piece of furniture. Surely God will not allow anything to happen to that piece of furniture. And so what is happening is that the people have got a false confidence, and we'll get into this a little bit more later, but they believe that because Jerusalem is the city of God, and this temple is the house of God, that God would not allow anything to happen to those things. And God says, no, I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again. The application that he's trying to get across to them was a very important thing. And so as we got some context about what this Shiloh is, that it's referring back to the Ark of the Covenant being taken by the Philistines because the people trusted an object rather than trusting in God. The first thing I'd like to show you in this application of what Jeremiah is preaching is the preaching of Shiloh. The first thing I want to show you is the preaching of Shiloh. Now again, the purpose that God has wanted them to do was to obey his word. That's why Jeremiah preached in Jeremiah 7, 8, 9, and 10. If you go back and remember, what was the whole point of what was being said? Obey God's word. Obey God's word. Obey God's word. Obey God's word. Over and over, that idea was out. You'd almost think that God wanted them to obey God's word. And so now, as the application has come, and Jeremiah has finished up preaching the message, he is saying, listen here, obey God's word. Now, God did have some message for Jeremiah in preparation. Notice with me in verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord, so he's speaking to Jeremiah in this case, stand in the court of the Lord's house, which he did, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which have come to worship in the Lord's house. So we understand now some context, that people are coming to the temple to worship, and people from all over the country have come from their cities to come to God's house to worship. And here's Jeremiah, the preacher, standing outside as people are trying to get past him, and as he's street preaching, and he's getting every single one of them as they're coming in. So, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee. Notice this, God's telling Jeremiah, he's prepping Jeremiah to go, I want you to preach all the words that I command thee, to speak unto them. Notice this last phrase, diminish not a word. That word diminish is a very interesting thing. It has the idea to soften. It has the idea to make disappear or to make lighter of. So he says, Jeremiah, you preach every word and you don't diminish a single word. Now, this is even more important because Jeremiah, as we see the reaction, these people are not going to respond well. So much that they're actually thinking about killing the preacher. Now, if there's something that you need to know, is that this isn't a last-minute decision for them to decide to kill the preacher. Their face is showing it while he's preaching it. I've yet, in all the time that I've preached, seen somebody with a smile on their face and look like they're enjoying the message, and then after the message come up and say, I can't believe you said that, preacher. There's not a switch that comes on when invitation, oh yeah. Jeremiah can see it on their faces that they're not responding well. In fact, I keep threatening one of these days I'm going to do it is I'm going to put a camera up here and I'm going to record your faces when I preach and let you see what I get to look at. And you understand that's important because God said, don't diminish a word. You understand when you start to speak to someone and they're not liking your message, your temptation is to kind of back away. Maybe try to think of a different way of wording it. Maybe just soften it up. Maybe just because they're staring at you with hateful eyes. And you understand that happens from time to time. I just talked to a preacher friend of mine, and we were talking about Resurrection Day services. And he says in the midst of his service, he had a lady who turned to someone she was sitting by in the midst of the service, in the midst of the preaching, with a loud voice said, "I don't believe a single word he said." And a couple minutes later, she actually walked up in the midst of the service. How would you like to have that? It happens. And as a preacher, Jeremiah is told, diminish not a word. Even if they don't like it, and they're not going to like it, you deliver the entire word. Diminish not a word. You tell them every word. And so now we see as he continues on, here's the preaching. Verse number 3. If so, they will hearken. If so be that they hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of this evil for which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. Now again, he's talking to Jeremiah, and he's saying, Jeremiah, I don't want you to diminish a word. I want you to tell every word, because my goal, my desire from this message is not to make them feel bad. The goal of this message is not to make them get the pouty face. The goal of this message is to get them to obey, so I don't have to send destruction. I have to tell them the bad news. I have to tell them that I'm serious. And so Jeremiah, you don't change a word. You don't diminish it, because they need to hear this message. And the goal is not to make them mad. The goal is to get them to change their behavior. Verse number 4. And if thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I've sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So here we see God is telling Jeremiah, this is your application. You tell them right in their face, if you don't obey, I'm going to destroy this house. If you don't obey, I'm going to destroy the city. And I know that carries my name, God is saying, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to set it to waste. So we see the preaching of Shiloh, that God is very specific, and he's trying to tell them they need to walk in God's law. They need to hearken to the words of the prophet. They need to obey what is said. And if they refuse to obey, God is going to destroy his house. Now, again, the people had in mind that God would never destroy his house. I mean, after all, this is one of the wonders of the world. Remember that King Solomon's the one who built this house. That if it was built in today's economy, it would take $35 billion to build. That's an expensive building. Aren't you glad we don't have those building payments? This is a building that people said, this is, God did so much to it. It was overlaid with gold. So as you approach Jerusalem, the sunlight would actually bounce off of it. And it would be a representation of the Shekinah glory of God as the sun is glittering over it, over the temple as you're approaching it. It was an amazing sight. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was just something to behold. But God says, I don't care how wondrous it is. I don't care if it has my name on it or not. I will destroy it if you don't obey. I'll destroy the city. This is not going to protect you. I will not spare my judgment because of an object. I want you to obey. But again, people are having a hard time wrapping its mind around. It'd be almost like a preacher said, all right, church, if you don't get right with God, God's going to destroy this house. You know that's unfathomable to people. God wouldn't do anything. This is a church. I mean, this is God's place. But do you understand? God is serious about it. Very serious. So we see the preaching of Shiloh. What happens? How do the people respond? The second thing I want to show you is the conviction of Shiloh. The conviction of Shiloh. Notice with me in verse 7. All right, so verses 1 through 6 is the application. All right, so Jeremiah, this is what I want you to apply. This is what I want you to tell him. So because of this message we preached, this is what I expect to be done, or else. So the people's response in verse 7, the conviction that they have, the conviction of Shiloh. Verse number 7, so the priest and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. All right, so he's got an audience, and this audience has probably been gathering and gathering and gathering. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah made an end of speaking all the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priest and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Now, you can imagine the invitation's given, all right? Bow your heads, close your eyes. All right, if God's spoken to you, I want you to come forward. Well, they all came forward, but they came all the way forward and grabbed the preacher and said, all right, we don't like this message. We're going to kill you. That wasn't the type of moving forward he was probably looking forward to. Now they've gathered him up and they're mad. They're upset. They're going to kill the preacher because they do not like the message. Notice as it goes on in verse number 9. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Now, put yourself in Jeremiah's place. Wouldn't that be a scary thing to have a big crowd of people that's in a mob mentality, ready to go kill you because you just preached a message to them that they did not like? I mean, this is some bravery now by Jeremiah, because they are ready to string him up. And there's nowhere he can go. He's on the temple grounds. They're surrounded him. They've gathered him. They've caught him. Verse number 10. And when the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house and unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. All right, so the people have gathered, the priests have gathered, the preachers have gathered. Now the government officials have gathered. And guess what? The government officials are not going to bail Jeremiah out. So imagine a mob mentality. All right, the preacher's preached a message and the whole place has revolted. They've gathered the preacher up and the preacher sees, look, here's the police, here's the constable, here's the guards. They come up and the guards sit down and say, all right, we're going to watch this too. There's no hope. There's no way of getting out of this. He's surrounded and no one is going to help him. Notice what happens. In verse 11, then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. You see, in their minds, the worst thing that Jeremiah could have done, he did. Whereas to say, God's going to destroy this place in judgment. They can't fathom that. That God would destroy his house. Don't you? What are you talking about? You deserve to die just because you said God's going to destroy this place. You understand that they've taken their golden calf. And he's preached against their idol. You see, they have a bit of safety. They feel like as long as they're in the city that has God's name in it, which is Jerusalem, and as long as they keep reverencing the place that God put his name on, the temple of God, God would not destroy it. So they can live however they want and feel safe because God would never destroy his place. You understand, they had a false thing of safety. This is a dangerous ground. But you understand, God hates your sin. It doesn't matter if you're a member of a church, God hates your sin. It doesn't matter if you're an American. You understand that there's some people today that believe that we have safety. Oh, I'm an American. God will never destroy this country. Why not? God destroyed his people and his nation. Why wouldn't he destroy a heathen land like us? You understand? This is dangerous ground here. There is no guarantee of safety. There's no guarantee of an absence of judgment. This is a time for us to get right, because there is no hiding spot. You understand, if the judgment of God comes, you know where God says the judgment begins? In the house of God. That's where God is starting at. He's going to clean up his house first. So you understand, there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere where we could feel better about ourselves, that God will never destroy this place. There's nowhere safe from the judgment of God. The only hope that you have, dear friend, is not where to hide. The only hope that you have is to turn from your wicked ways and to run to God and ask for his forgiveness. That is the only hope that we have. And that is the only hope that those people had. But instead, they chose to trust in things and objects and places rather than get right with God. In their mind, it was better in their mind to believe that God would not destroy his city and his temple than for them to get right and turn from their wicked ways. Notice, we have first of all the preaching of Shiloh, that Jeremiah's preached a message, and as an application, he said, guess what? You need to get right with God or God's going to destroy this place. We see the conviction of Shiloh that they're upset. They're angry. They did not respond well, so they grabbed the preacher and said, we're going to kill him. Now, notice the last thing here, the message of Shiloh. The message of Shiloh. Now, they allowed Jeremiah to have a response. Notice in verse 12. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city in all the words that ye have heard. So basically he said, I've just done what God's asked me to do. He said, this isn't my message. It's the Lord's message. You understand that that's a big distinction. That if we're preaching from the Bible, that the preacher's not preaching his thoughts, he's not teaching his opinions, he's not teaching his preferences, he's teaching what the Bible says. That's something you can't argue with. That's something you have to bring up to the Lord. But you know, instead of obeying the Bible, people would rather blame the preacher. That's what you see all throughout the Bible. That's the age-old adage that when you don't like the message, blame the preacher. Blame the preacher. And they did. That's why they're gathered up and they're getting ready to kill him. Now, who are they really mad at? They're not mad at Jeremiah. They're mad at the Lord. But they can't get a hold of God and kill him, so they have to do something about the message and the messenger. So notice what happens in verse number 13. Therefore now, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent of him the evil that he pronounced against you. Now, Jeremiah said, listen, you could switch. You could still do well. If you obey, things will be all right. You understand? That's the response that is necessary, is for people to get right. Killing the preacher is not the right answer. You understand? Running away is not the right answer. Hiding is not the right answer. Quitting church is not the right answer. Just because you don't like the message, the response is to get right. Someone said that when you start rubbing the cat the wrong way, just turn the cat around. That the proper response is to turn to God. Over the years, it's amazing to see people respond. If they don't like the message, they will get mad. An old preacher said that whenever you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. The one that it affected, the one that's convicted by it, it's the one that's going to yelp. They're going to have a problem with it. They're going to say something. They're going to pull a preacher aside. I didn't think I appreciate that message. I don't think, you know, someone else said, that message is pretty controversial. What that means is I don't want to obey that. I got to find some kind of controversy with it. Getting mad if the preacher doesn't work. I have heard some people who say, well, fine, if that's the case, I'm just not coming to church again. That's not the right answer. Just quitting and say, I'm just not going to do it anymore. That's not the right answer. Someone says, well, then I'm just going to hide out. If God's just going to destroy, I'm just going to hole up. Just get right. Just get right. Just get right. It is much easier and much more painless to get right with the Lord than it is just to hold on and hold on and be miserable. The most miserable people in the world are not lost people. The most miserable people in all the world is a Christian, a truly born-again Christian who is disobedient to God. And God's Holy Spirit keeps poking at him. They are most miserable. It's easier just to get right than just to live in misery. And that misery will build up because you get tired of the message. You want to know why some people don't go to church no more? They don't like the message. You know why some people like to gossip against the preacher? They don't like the message. So if they could somehow find something wrong with the messenger, then they feel like they don't have to obey the message. It's much easier to get right. You understand, it doesn't matter. Just because you don't want to believe it's true doesn't make it less true. Truth is truth no matter what. Your choice is to obey or disobey. Notice as it goes on in verse 14. As for me, this is Jeremiah. He's talking to this crowd who wants to kill him. Behold, I'm in your hands. Do with me as it seemed good and meet. That means right with you. He says, hey, I just deliver the message. I'm not here for myself. So if you feel like you need to kill me, do what you got to do. But it's not going to stop the judgment of God. In fact, it's going to hasten it. Notice the next verse. Now, again, he's not being mean. He's not being hateful. He's not saying God's going to send fire down. He's saying, all right, if you feel like you need to kill me, go ahead. But, verse 15, but you know for certain that you will, if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Here we have the message of Shiloh. Just get right. Just get right. You understand? The Bible talks about in Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. You understand, in Hebrews 13, 17, it's talking about the man of God who's watching out for the souls of people. And you understand, it's not always easy to go tell someone, hey, this is where you're messed up. You understand, it's not always easy to preach a message that says you need to get right. But why do I do it? Because I'm trying to obey the Lord. Why does God want it to do it? Because he wants you to turn around. He wants you to hear the news so you can switch things. And if you obey, then it's a blessing. You get right, and things are still right with you and the preacher. The preacher's able to help you. He's able to keep preaching. He's able to say, all right, these people love the Lord. I could deliver the next one, and I don't have to worry about getting met outside of the church in the church parking lot and see who's all waiting for me there. You understand? That's not profitable for you if the preacher's wondering who's going to wait, who's going to send him the next email, who's going to send him the next phone call, who's going to send him the next death threat. You understand? That's not profitable for you. It's much more profitable for you to say, you know what? I'm going to obey the Lord. And say, I don't care what it is, as long as the Lord's saying it and God's given the messenger to it, I'm going to try to do my best to obey. And you know what? That's a blessing, because the preacher knows he's trying to help you and you're taking the help and that you're going to move forward together. That's the blessing. That's the goal. The preacher is not the bad guy. He's just delivering the message. And that's supposed to be the help. So what is the response? The response is, let's just stay right with God. That is, God convicts us through a message. Instead of fighting it, instead of revolting, instead of putting it off, it's much better to obey. And allow God to give us blessings as we obey. There are blessings when we obey. Or we could be miserable people just refusing to get right, refusing to get right. And if I could put another side thing in here, make your faces happy so it's easy to preach. You understand? I'm going to get a thing up here and it's going to record you guys once and you can kind of see how it is, right? Make it look like you're enjoying the preaching, right? That helps the preacher. All right, these people are not going to kill me afterwards. That's good. I'm thankful for this church, and I know you guys aren't, but you guys get the illustration down, right? That Jeremiah preached a message, and they were not happy with it. And they were ready to meet him outside the parking lot, and they were ready to string him up. But it wasn't Jeremiah. Jeremiah was not the problem. Their refusing to get right was the problem. It is much easier just to get right with the Lord and get his blessings. Let's strive for that. Let's pick that one. Let's do our best to make a decision to say, you know what? We're going to allow God to speak to us. And as God speaks to us, we're going to obey and let God guide us the way that we should go. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.